This is Daf HaShavua, Shir number 3 for Daf Pei Vavim Maseches Shavuos. We're on Pei Vavim Beis, about a third of the way down at the Mishnah. Hamoshevis Ishto Chenvanis, person who placed his wife as a shopkeeper, or literally, if you look at Rashi Chenvanis, the third thin line, Limkor Yena Uperos of Bechanus. She's going to take charge of selling his wine and his produce in the shop. Oh, Shemina Apotropti, the Mishnah says. So he points her as a guardian, as a custodian, as an administrator. Next, Rashi Apotropti, Lahachnis, Lahotzi, Perosov, Veliskor Paralim, Velisa Velitain. So to bring his produce in and out of the store, or to hire workers, or to be involved in his business transactions, this at home as well. Hareza Mashbia Kol. Says the Tanakhama, he has the right to make or take an oath at any time that he likes. This is a din d'rabban. In the Mishnah Masechet Shavuos and Daf Memhei discusses this. I'll explain this in Rashi in the Gemara in a few minutes. But this is something that a person can require of any of a shutaf. He has a business partner, an oris, a sharecropper. And this would be true if a woman is buying and selling her that which her husband has in the house. This is something midrabanan that the Chachamim said he has the right to do because he's afraid he maybe doesn't trust her. Maybe they're more heter to take a little bit for themselves because they, after all, they're working very hard. So therefore, we're afraid they may be taking, and therefore the husband can make him take a shvua. The emphasis here is on, as the Ron explains, is on the woman, on the wife, is because maybe we would have thought she has to take the shvua. When she's there to collect the ksuva, that she hasn't taken anything prior to that. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that he's able to make or take this oath, and it's something he's able to make or take whenever he wants. At any point, he's able to, not just when she's there to collect the ksuva. So the Gemara now, and then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, what does he say? Afilu al pilcha val isasa. He, the husband, can make or take a shvua even regarding the pilcha spindle, which he uses for sewing. And valisasa for crocheting, valisasa, and on the dough that she is baking, also that she doesn't take anything from that. And we'll have to see in the Gemara under what circumstances Rabbi Eliezer allows such a thing. Says the Gemara, and that's the Gemara's first question. Ibailahu, Rabbi Eliezer al yidei gilgul kamar, o lechatchilo kamar. So Gilgul Shvua is, we may have mentioned in the past, Gilgul Shvua is where the halacha is based on psukim. When it comes to the Isha Sota, we learn that there may be circumstances where the halacha does not allow someone to impose an oath upon another person. But once they're chayiv, let's say in one type of shvua, you can be megalgel, you can roll on to them another shvua as well. The concept of Gilgul Shvua is learned from the Chumash, learned from the Torah Parsha Sota. So the question now is, when Rabbi Eliezer says that a husband has the right to cause his wife to take an oath even on dough and even on the spindle, pilchani sasa, is that only al yedei gilgul, which means that, well, I can make her swear on those, but once we have you swearing anyway on on the fruit, on the produce, and as a chenvanis or an apotropa, we can make you on the produce, we can make you swear on the pilchani sasa as well, which would mean, by the way, that the Tanakhama would not allow that even through a gilgul, which would be an interesting question. Why not? Or are we saying that the Rabbi Eliezer is coming to say lechatchila? So that's what the Gemara says. Ibarli Rabbi Eliezer al de gilgul kamar or lechatchila kamar. Or is Rabbi Eliezer telling you a bigger chiddush? A husband can impose the shvua upon his wife on pilcha isasa to make sure that regarding the spindle, what she's crocheting, and the dough that she hasn't taken for herself, any part of that, he can make her take that shvua, even lechatchila, even not al yedei gilgul shvua, which would mean that maybe the Tanakhama would allow the husband to impose that oath through gilgul, but not obviously lechatchila. So the Gemara says, tries to bring a proof from the Brisa. Tashma. Amulah Rabbi Eliezer, the Chachamim said to Rabbi Eliezer the following: Ein Adam Dar Im Nachash Bikfifa. A person cannot live, and we've had this phrase as well, cannot live with a snake in the same basket. This is often what we're saying when we have a husband and a wife, because of the peace and harmony that's necessary for a good marriage. You can't have a case where a wife is always nervous about getting her husband upset. So the Gemara says, now, based on that concept, a person cannot live b'kfifa together. So the Gemara says like this, if you want to tell me that the Chacham, that Rabbi Eliezer says, the husband can make his wife swear about the pilcha and isasa, about the spindle of the dough, then shapir. Then I understand very well why the Chachamim would disagree. Meaning, the Chachamim disagree because the Chachamim said, Rabbi Eliezer in this price, come on, you can't have this. A husband's going to impose an oath upon everything. The pilcha, nisasa, the dough. That's a woman can't live like that. And being nervous every single second, she's going to do something wrong. So a husband is going to impose an oath upon this and upon that. I understand why the Chachamim said, hey, a person can't live with a snake in the same basket. That was the argument the Chachamim gave to Rabbi Eliezer. That would make sense, that argument, if Rabbi Eliezer was allowing the Chachila that a husband can impose that oath, and therefore the Chachamim disagree. But that's Shapir. But Eliyamin Ali Del Gil, if you're telling me that Rabbi Eliezer is only allowing this oath on the Pilcha Nisasa through Gilgal, meaning once she's already taking an oath on as a Chenvanis or an Apotropa, we can roll this on as well. Am I Nafgalamina? So then what's the difference, Tar? Why would the Chachamim disagree with that? She's already taking an oath for one thing, so she'd take an oath for another thing. So the argument of the Chachamim to Rabbi Eliezer in this Brisa, Ein Adam Darim Nachash Bechfifa, really only makes sense if Rabbi Eliezer allows the husband to impose the oath lechatchila. If it's only through Gilgal, then I don't understand why the Chachamim getting all upset. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. The Amrale, because the woman can say to her husband, no, this is also, I ain't Adam Dar Bechfifa, Nachash Bechfifa, even through Gilgal. Because Kevan Dika Daitit, Kevan Dika Daikat Basrai Kule Hai, Lo Matsino Da Adru Bahadach. Since you're being so medayik, since you're being so, you're checking me so carefully, that so much I can't live with you. Let's take a look at Rashi to see this Gemara. So look at the first Rashi on the Gemara. Ali de Gil Komar. So maybe, are we saying that Rabbi Eliezer is telling us that that when we say the husband can impose an oath on the woman who's dealing with, who's crocheting and baking the dough, so is that through Gilgal only, or even lechatchila? So look at Rashi. Deshame letana kama de amar mashbia al apotropsus v'lo al pilchavisasa. V'afilu al yidei Gilgal shuas apotropsus. Meaning, Rabbi Eliezer heard the Tanakhama say that the husband can impose an oath when she's a guardian, but not on the produce, maybe, but on business transactions, but not on the spindle, not on the dough. And that would be true. You can't even impose the on the dough and on the pilcha even through a Gilgal, even when you're already giving a shmua as an apotropa. Why? Dikaven de shvuas apotropsus drabanon. Meaning, why would we not allow that? Because the shvua of an apotropa is the only shvua de rabbanon anyway. Deha lo katan le toveya tanas bari. It's not like the husband has a tanas bari. This is not a classic case of imposing a shvua where one person says, hey, I'm sure you owe me money. The other person says, well, I don't really know, whatever it is. Okay, you impose a shvua there, maybe. Elo ritzonisha tishbali. Oh, no, I want you to swear to me. That's all a takana derabanan that we allow the husband to impose this oath upon the wife. He has no taina bari that she definitely stole something. So if that's the case, lo megaglan al yada shvua acharista. You can now roll another shvua upon her. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Ba'as Rabbi Eliezer lemeimar, Rabbi Eliezer come to say, hey, chadahu shiva chenvanis. No, once he's in a case where he places her as a storekeeper, migu dish de mishtaba apotropsus mishtaba nami al yidei gilgal al pilcha visasa. Because the same way, in other words, once he's able to make or take a shvua as a chenvanis or an apotropa, he has the right through Gilgal to do the same. And this would be true even though it's the drabanan. Gilgal shvua is a Torah concept, is a Doraisa concept. So one would have thought, and that's the Tanakhama's opinion, obviously, according to this first version understanding of the Gemara, that no, Gilgal is a Torah concept. And now we're dealing with drabanans. The fact that you can impose one shvua drabanan, you're going to tell me that the principle of Gilgal allows you to make her take another shvua? No, the whole first shvua was midrabanan anyway. So that's possibility A. Next Rashi. Oh, lechatchila kamar. No, maybe lechatchila there, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, da'afilu lo mina metrapa, even if she was not a guardian and she's not swearing on anything else, still mashbi al pilcha, shara apotropa, says he. After all, in the end of the day, she is an apotropa on, he's not making her take a shvua on that. She is an apotropa though. So if she's an apotropa, and although he's not making her take a shvua on the produce, but he can make her take a shvua on this. So it's not saying that she's not apotropos. She is, but he's not making her take a shvua on any of the produce or those business transactions, and just on the isa or the pilcha. So next Rashi, b'kfifa, b'soch kupa achas, he can't have. So that was the Tanakama's argument. Come on, it can't be that you can live with a steak in the same basket. So if that's what, if we want to say Rabbi Leza says l'chatchila, then shapir, then I understand the Tanakama's opinion very well. The Amrolei, because she can say to the husband, Hoil mashbas li al pilchi, since you lechatchila can make me take a shvu on the spindle, any acholis bol kaptanusech, I can't deal with your being such a makbit, so particular about it. I can't tolerate that. But if you're telling me that Rabbi Eliezer is saying only al yedei gilgal, so my nafka lamina, then what's the difference there? Harin is chayevis lo shvua anyway. Umayik shelo gilgul zeim lo ikva klum. Right, if she hasn't taken anything from him, why should she care for this extra shvua anyway? This is not a problem of fikva achas. So the Gemara says, no. She can argue back. Ho will the kodaikis basroi next Rashi. So you obviously don't love me, and you don't believe me, you don't trust me. I can't live with you. The fact that you are now adding on an extra shvua through this Gilgal, that itself is a kfifa achas, nachash achas problem. Okay, tashma, now we try another proof from the following brisa. Let's say you have a case where the husband does not exempt his wife from a debt neder shvua. So take a look at the Mishnah on the bottom of this page. The Mishnah begins with kasaf la neder shvua ein lechalayach. So the Mishnah is speaking about a case where a husband says, listen, you know what, you don't have to take I don't need a neder shvua from you. So the Mishnah will deal with that. What's the halach in such a circumstance where he says, no, you don't have to take a shvua from me? What the Breitzi here is saying, that let's say we're talking about a case where he did not exempt his wife from a neder shvua. Okay, so she's not exempt. Or he appointed her as a shopkeeper or an apotropos administrator of his business. He has the right to make or take a shvua whenever he wants. But if he did not appoint her in these as a shopkeeper or a guardian administrator, says Tanakama, cannot make or take a shvua. This is all where he didn't exempt her from taking a shvua. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, afal pi shelo hoshivech emanis, v'lo mimna apotropia, even if he did not make her a shopkeeper or administrator, harezeh mashbia kol zman sheyirtza, he has the right to make or take a shvua whenever he wants. She'ein lecha isha shelo nasis apotropia, sha'achas b'chai ba'al. Because he can't, a woman is always an apotropos. Can't say that a woman was never an apotropa at some point administrator for at least 1 hour during when her husband was alive, and therefore during that time there's a possibility maybe she took something being moreheter for herself. So and the Gemara explains, the Brice explains, she'ein lecha isha shelo nasis apotropia sha'achas b'chai bala al pilcha v'asir salsa, regarding the spindle or the dough. Meaning, she's obviously, that's what we spoke about earlier in the Masechta, that she's osa v'tzemer. She's working with wool, and she's obviously baking for him. So, of course, at that point, and that's his property, maybe she took a little bit for herself. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is why we can make her take a shvua. Amar the Chachamim said back, ein adam darim nachash b'chvifa. Nah, a person can't live. You can't assume this woman can live together with a snake, the husband being the snake, in the same basket. So Shma Mina. So what do you see in this brisa? Lechatchila. So you see from me that based Rav Eliezer, the husband obviously is allowed to make the wife swear even lechatchila. Not only the gilgul shvut, it's exactly what the brisa is talking about. He has the right to be mashbia kol shman shayutza and al pilchav al yisasa, and that's exactly what he's making take a shvuah, and it's even lechatchila, not al yinat. Because she's already taking Shvua as a Chenvanis. No, she is not a Chenvanis, even though he didn't appoint her as a Chenvanis. But nonetheless, we assume she at least is an apotropos on a Pilchav Alisasa. Well, that's the case. And Rabbi Ezra allows him to take a Shvua, and the Chachamim don't like that. But either way, you see Shema Minah Lechatchila. Rabbi Ezra allows the husband to impose that Shvua al Pilchav Alisasa, even Lechatchila, Shema Minah, that's a good raya. Okay, now we begin the next Mishnah. Kasav la nedu shvua ein li alayich. So we're just going to do the Mishnah, and we'll pick up from the Gemara the next year. Have a husband who wrote on a star, you know what, I don't need a neder from you, I don't need a shvua from you. So if he did that, he wrote that in a star, ein yachol lashbia. So then he has no right then to impose his neder or shvua on upon her, because he wrote that down. Avo mashbia hu es yorshav es habayim birushusa, but he can impose an oath on her heirs, her yorshim, or anyone who comes birushusa. Someone else, let's say she died, he divorced her, and then she died. So now the obviously her yorshim want the ksuba, so they have to swear. They have to swear. Let's say maybe she said to them that the ksuba is already paid. The husband doesn't believe that, and the husband's saying, I paid the ksuba already. So the husband can be mashbia them. And if you look at Rashi tells exactly what this is about. Second Rashi on the Mishnah, on this Mishnah, Avol Mashbia, who es yorsher im girsha umesa. Let's say he was megarisher, and then she dies. So if she was megarisher, officially she should be getting the ksuva, or now the yorshim should be getting the ksuva. The yorsher tovin heimenu ksuva sa. And the yorshim are now claiming the ksuva. Nishboim shvuas yorshim. They have to take a shvuas yorshim, even though the husband exempted his wife from taking a shvua. That doesn't exempt the yorshim. They have to take the shvuas yorshim. I'm a fresh of the shvuas, which is written explicitly in masechet shvuas on daf mem hei. What do they have to say? Shvuas Shalo Pakad Tanu Vishas Misa, so he didn't command us at the time that you died, Velo Amra Lanu Kodem Lachain, and she didn't say anything before, Velo Matsan, that the Ksuba was paid, of course, Velo Matsan Ben Shtarosel, Shashtak Suva Paru, nor did we find the Yorshim say amongst her Shtaros, amongst her documents, that this Ksuba was paid. The Ksuba is not paid, and therefore, and we swear to that, and now we want the Ksuba. So that's an oath that the husband can impose upon them, even though the wife, who had passed away, is exempt from taking an oath. Then the Mishnah says, "Nederu shvua ein li alayich va'al yorshayich va'al habon birushusech." But let's say he wrote in a star, "You know what? I'm not going to make you take a neder or a shvua, and your heirs or those who come birushusech in your place, ein yachol lashbia." Lo he v'lo yorshe v'lo es habon birushusech. So then, no one has to take a shvua. Aval yorshav mashbienosa. But let's say the husband dies, and now his heirs want the ksuva. The husband may have said none of the family members, the wife and the families, don't have to take an oath. But his yorshim never gave that exemption. But they have the right to be mashbiah. She's still alive. Ves yorshah, ves habim b'shuso. If she's not alive anymore, the yorshim of the husband, can impose an oath or neder on the yorshim on her yorshim or those who come in her place. Next, nedu shvu ein li v'lo liyor shai v'lo la boim birshusi alayich val yoshayich val boim birshusech. So let's say he writes in a star, I don't have a vow or an oath, not only me, but my yorshim don't, and now they'll come in my place. And we don't have a shvua on you or on your yorshim or they will come or your successors come in your place. Then ein yichol ashbia lohu v'lo yorsha v'lo abim b'rushuso lo aso v'lo yorsha v'lo abim b'rushuso. Very simple, right? And then no one can be mashbia anybody. Then the Mishnah says holcha mikever ba'alo leveis avia. If after the woman, if the husband passed away, She left literally the grave of her husband to go back to her father's house. This is the husband who said she doesn't have to take a shvua. So look at Rashi. Holcha mikev rabala, about 10 lines from the bottom in the Rashi's. Holcha mikev rabala, zushe patra rabala mena shvua. This woman whose husband exempted her from taking a shvua, she doesn't need to take a shvua in order to lek the ksuva. V'hochi tani behedi v'tosefta, da'ach tshe patra koli. Tosefta says we're speaking of specifically about the woman who is exempt from taking a shvua. And she went from straight from the grave of burying her husband, Lebeis Avia, Shomonos Aska Shuv Benechasim. She now had no dealings at all with the Nechasim of her husband. So, the Mishnah says, or let's say Shechazor Lebeis Chamiya, V'lo Nasis Apotropia, or let's say she went back to her father-in-law's house. It's true, but, and she's around her husband's property, but she did not now act as an apotropa for her husband's property. So here, yeah, she may be in her husband's house, but here in both of these cases, either she went straight from the grave back to her father's house, or she's back in her husband's house after the husband passed away, but she is not an apotropa. So now she had no dealings with his property. So then, and this is a woman who is exempt from taking a shvua, then whose husband exempted her from taking a shvua. So ain't a yorshim mashbiin osa, although yorshim cannot be mashbiar. Why not? Because what are they going to make her swear? She didn't steal anything. The husband exempted her from taking a shvua when he was alive, and that would be true even a shvua that he imposed or even those who are his yorshim. So this would be true, and this applies to any business that she did while he was alive. And now you're only worried about business she did after he passed away. You want to tell me they can make her take a shvua on that, but she didn't have any dealings with his property after he passed away. And therefore, once again, halcha mikever ba'ala leveis avia o shechazu leveis chamia v'lo nasis apotropia on his property, ain't ha'yoshin mashbiyin osa at all. Vim nasis apotropia. Oh, but let's say she did. Meaning after the husband passed away, she didn't now deal with his property, then Hayoshin Mashbiyin Osa, not on what was in the past, because that the father exempted them from doing him, the woman from doing, and Hayoshin, but Hayoshin Mashbiyin Osa Alahasid Lavo, meaning that which she did in the future, which we did after the husband passed away. Look at Rashi, Alahasid Lavo, Al Asik, about 7 lines from the bottom, Alahasid Lavo, Al Asik Shal Achar Misa, Shalot Ikva Biyadakunda, she didn't keep anything of his in her, and took for her. Because now all those nechasim belong to the orphans, belong to his yorshim. That exemption from a shvua doesn't help anymore. Vein the Mishnah then says, Vein mashbino shal mashalva. But once again, they cannot impose an oath upon anything she was managing while the husband is still alive, because that was part of Rashi, last Rashi, Asek Shabbachai Bala, because obviously she was exempt from that. And the Chinish may be, the Rush says, that why do I know this already? You just told me, just on just that which was lost. Obviously not in the past, but it means that they can't even impose the Yorshim Shvua, even through a Gilgul Shvua. That's not even allowed. The husband exempted anything in his lifetime, and therefore they're exempt, and that is even through Gilgul.